We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
So I sent out a text of what the scripture reading would be this week, and then I changed it today. So, that's the way it goes. It's partially correct. So we're beginning in 1 John 1. We're going to read verses 5 through 9. This is the message we have heard from Him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then in Hebrews, chapter 13, starting at verse 9. Do not be led away by diverse and strained teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods which have not benefited those devoted to them. We have an altar from which those who serve the tent have no right to eat, for the body of those animals whose blood is brought into the holy place by the high priest as a sacrifice for sin are burned outside the camp. So Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through His own blood. Therefore, let us go outside the camp and bear the reproach He endured. For here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we consider the blood of Christ again this week, that You would really strengthen our faith through the truths that we ponder today. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're talking about the blood of Christ again this week. And in light of that, I have some blood facts that you all should know. But I'll tell you them anyway. Not all that you should know, but you should know the basics. But the reason we are using these illustrations from the physical reality of blood is because God has created this world to point us to Himself, and the physical realities often give us understanding of spiritual realities. So today I want to talk about, just real quick, the purpose of blood. Blood does a lot of things. But there are two primary things that blood does. One, the blood brings oxygen and nutrients to all parts of the body that need it. It's a delivery system for the good things that your body needs. And essentially, the bloodstream delivers life to your body. Now, another function of blood is it also removes the harmful waste products and toxins and poisons that build up in your body as just part of the cell process of life. So it takes out those things which are harmful. It removes death from your body. So the blood is in this constant circulatory pattern. You know, so it collects all the nutrients and the oxygen from the lungs and, you know, passes through the heart and pumps all that good stuff out to you. And then as it goes past the cells, the cell's waste is then delivered back into the bloodstream, and it's taken all the way to the kidneys, where it's cleaned up and then put back into the service in your body. And a single red blood cell will do that delivery process about 500,000 times, taking good stuff out and bringing waste stuff back. It's like the UPS and the garbage truck all in one. Right? And after about 500,000 times, the kidney just breaks that blood cell down because it's no longer able, it wears out. It's no longer able to do it. So it's reassimilated, taken apart all the good pieces that it needs, and recreated a new blood cell to go around and do that all again. Pretty fascinating when you think about it. The complexity of our bodies is amazing. Can I just say, that's not chance. That's by design. That's a little aside. So today we want to talk about that cleaning up process of blood. The blood cleanses our bodies. And there's two theological terms that we want to think about. Our passages today said the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And the Hebrews passage says the blood of Christ sanctifies us. We're sanctified by his blood. And I've been pairing up these theological terms because they have similarities and overlaps. And you kind of need both processes, both theological, spiritual works in your life for the full effect of Christ's blood. Again, when we're thinking about what the blood does, it's pretty amazing that this is God's way of dealing with all the effects of sin on our life. And so the problem that is being dealt with is sin. And when we're talking about cleansing and sanctifying, the problem with our sin, and again, we think of sin in two ways. Those things which we do personally that are against God's commandments, like, again, the simple things, lying, stealing, cheating, adultery, whatever. All those things that we think of, those are sins. Those are bad things we do. We all have them. Disobedience, disobeying our parents, whatever it is. We all kind of know that. But the big thing is that this sin permeates all of humanity and all that we do. In Isaiah, let me see, I have a couple of Isaiah passages. Let me see if I can turn to the right one. We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. So there's this image that everything we do, even our righteous deeds, are undermined. They're polluted by the sinfulness. We may do the right thing, but often we do it for the wrong reason. And even the right thing isn't enough to make up for all the wrong things we do. And so sin, we've talked about, is like a pollution or a stain, or the Bible talks about filthy garments. Another passage is in Zechariah, this idea of filthy garments. Zechariah chapter 3, verse 4, and the angel said to those who were standing with him, remove, he's talking about Joshua, who's the priest towards the end of Israel's time before they went into exile. He says, and this is kind of this visual image of being made righteous. He says, now Joshua was standing before the angel clothed with filthy garments. And he said to him, behold, I have taken your iniquity, your sin, away from you, and I will clothe you with pure clothing. So there's this idea that our sinfulness leaves us filthy, dirty. David, in Psalm 51, he describes his sin this way. He says, wash me thoroughly and cleanse me from my sin. So he has this sense that he is filthy, dirty, stained by his sinfulness, and that it needs to be cleansed. And what the New Testament tells us is that Jesus' blood cleanses us from unrighteousness. So we are all, prior to coming Christ, filthy in our own individual sin and in the sin that stains all of humanity. And everything we do is tarnished by that sinfulness. It's kind of like preparing your dinner without washing your hands, right? Everything you do is in danger of being germ-infested in your kitchen. That's why we wash our hands frequently, to the point they're dry and cracked and painful, right? Because we don't want to infect and taint our food. Well, what the Bible says is that everything we do has been tainted by sin, and we need to be cleansed. We need to have our hands washed. So David, in his psalm, he will say, you know, he wants to be clean. So he says, create in me a clean heart. And the passage that I had originally said we were going to read today, in Hebrews chapter 9, also talks about this purifying work. So in Hebrews chapter 9, we will read it. It says, verse 12, talking about Christ, he entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of a defiled person with the ashes of heifer sanctify for the purification of blood, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify, that's that same word for cleanse, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. So we have some words that we've been thinking about. A clean heart, clean hands, a pure conscience. The reality is our sinfulness leaves a stain on us, on our conscience, on our heart, on our hands, that we all can actually really identify with. It's not just, we're not just talking about some abstract idea, but you actually experience this. Just like David, when he sinned, felt unworthy, I doubt there is a person here who has ever done something, has never done something that left them feeling unworthy. We all know that feeling. Guilt, shame, unworthiness, because of our behavior. It leaves a mark. And for some people, that lasts their whole lifetime. There are things that I wouldn't want to tell you about my past, right? And things you wouldn't want to tell me because they've left a damage on us. They've stained us. We feel guilty. We feel some shame about them. And God knows that. He knows that that's the effect of sin on our lives. And he says, you can't fix that on your own. You can't wash that away. No matter how much you wash and scrub your hands, it's not going to work. C.S. Lewis has this great image in the Narnia stories. Eustace, this worthless boy, has turned into a dragon because of his greed, and he's trying to turn back into a human, and he's trying to peel off his scales, and no matter how hard he peels, it doesn't come away. And then the picture is Aslan comes to him, and he does the tearing away of the scales for him because he couldn't get deep enough. But Aslan's able to clean him all the way up, to return him, to restore him to being a whole human being. That's the picture for us. We can't cleanse ourselves on our own from our sin. So God does that for him. He gives the blood of Christ to cleanse us. Another image I thought of is that commercial with, you know, the cleansing bubbles, right? In your, what soap is that? Mr. Bubbles, right? The idea is that the bubbles do all this work that you can't do on your own. Like, they're doing this work and they're making it easier for you. And that they're just always at work. Well, this is the thing I want you to understand about the blood of Christ. It is always at work. It's never unable to cleanse you from your sin. It's always ongoing. You are always clean because of the blood of Christ. And the reason I want us to understand that is we often feel guilty for things and feel like we have to make up to God for our sinfulness when he has already dealt with our sinfulness in Christ. And everything, every mistake you make, every sin you commit will be cleansed by the blood of Christ. And this ties into to our word sanctify. So let me make the connection between the two words. The problem with our sin is we're unclean and we cannot have a relationship with God as being because we're unclean, and he is holy. And so God tells us he created us good. And he created us for a purpose. And our sinfulness has damaged us in such a way that we can't have a relationship with God and we can't fulfill his purpose. Because we're unclean and we're unfit for his service. And so the blood of Christ cleanses us so that we are no longer unclean in his sight. The other thing that blood does is it sanctifies us. And what does that mean? To sanctify is to make holy. And specifically is to set apart for God's purposes. So in the Old Testament, when God is telling the Israelites how to worship him and how to live in a way that he can dwell in the middle of their camp, he says, these are the rules. I can't have anything unclean in my temple. Everything has to be clean, right? And so to be in God's presence, we have to be cleaned. But anything that was going to be used for service to God had to be set apart, had to be made holy. And there was blood that was sprinkled on the parts of the temple that were going to be used for the worship of God. And so that image is carried over then into the cross. Christ's blood marks us, seals us, sets us apart for God's service. So no longer are we not just made clean. We aren't unclean, we've made clean. But now we're not unfit for Christ's service. We are set apart for God's service. We are set apart for God's service. Because we have been made clean, now we can become useful. And because we are sanctified, we are now set apart for God's purposes in our life. And again, this is the Hebrews talks about being once for all. Christ did this once for all. It doesn't have to be done over and over and over again. And the reason I want to emphasize that, kind of that once for allness, that it's, is, again, it's just built into us to think, I am unworthy, and I need to do something to make myself okay with God. And it's built into all of our life. And it is the tool that Satan uses to undermine our confidence in what God is doing in our life. Satan wants us to think we are unworthy. That's part of the spiritual battle that goes on. These voices always tell us, you're not good enough. God won't be happy with you. God's disappointed with you. You can't accomplish what God wants for you because you're not, again, good enough. And the Bible is very clear. It's not what we do that makes us clean or makes us good enough for God. It's what God does for us. And he says, the Bible tells us that God does this for us because he loves us. And so he does what we can't do. And he does that through the blood of Christ. He sets us free. He purchases us for himself. He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And he sanctifies us. He sets us apart to do the things that he wants us to do, that he created us for. That's all part of what the blood of Christ does. And so, you are clean in God's eyes. You have been washed from the stain of unrighteousness and sin. There's a really great verse. Can I tie all this together? In Revelation chapter 1. Verse 7. I'll start a little earlier. Starting verse 5, in the middle of 5. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom, priest to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever. Behold, he is... Where I missed my verse. I'm I'm in the wrong chapter. Verse 7. Chapter 7, verse 14. I'm sorry. That was another verse. I knew my marker wasn't there. 7, verse 14. I said to him, "Sir, you know," and he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." Remember that story from the Old Testament about the priest who had filthy garments on, and God says, "I've dealt with your iniquities," and he clothes him in righteousness. This is the picture of believers at the end when Christ returns. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Isaiah talks about, though their sins be as scarlet, they will be white as snow, right? This is the image of what God does, not what we do. God does for us. He takes the filthiness and cleanses and scrubs it away so that we don't have to do that ourselves. It's all what God has done for you. And that's where our security, that's where our confidence, that's where our boldness in faith comes from, knowing that it isn't about me, it's about what God has done. And the Bible says that in so many different ways, this is what God has done for you, and because he loves you and because he wants you for himself and because he has useful things for you to do. You have purpose because God loves you and he made you to fulfill those purposes. The last part about to sanctify, the Bible talks to us about us being continuing sanctification. Like, on one level, we're set apart for God's purpose. We're made holy by the blood of Christ. On another level, our experience is that I'm still not living the holy life that I think I should. And God says, I've got a plan for that too. He sends his Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's work in our lives is to continue that transformation work that began as we came to faith in Christ, that began even before that as the Holy Spirit was at work within us. And he's continually shaping us through the experiences of our life so that we become conformed to the image of his Son. And the promise of Scripture is that he who began a good work in you will carry it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. So, the picture then is we have been washed in the blood of Christ. We are clean. Our sin is washed away, white as snow. And we are useful for God. We are set apart for God's purpose. And in order to make us more and more useful, the Holy Spirit is continually at work in us through all the ups and downs, through all the mistakes, through all the lessons of life. The Holy Spirit is at work shaping us, moving us, transforming us to be all that God intended us to be. And that fulfillment will one day be made known in ways that we can't even imagine when Christ returns. So, as you leave today, well, remember that blood cells do amazing things. But the blood of Christ does even more amazing things in your life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, the stories, the lessons, the truths of the blood of Christ are truly good news for us. May we not be ashamed of that, but may we grab hold of the truth and really just find confidence and boldness to share that truth with others. We thank you in Jesus' name.